And take your Bibles while you're seated there. Proverbs 13. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. And we'll continue our study on marriage and the home. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. And our text is in verse number 12, but you know, sometimes it helps when you're at church and we open up the Bible and you start to read, and you know, sometimes it's a verse that the preacher isn't even really preaching on, but God uses that verse. Sometimes it'll just jump out off the page. And many times that's why we read more scripture than just the verse that we're using for our text. And, you know, let the Word of God speak to your heart. And Proverbs chapter 13, I'm going to read here at verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse 12. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. What a verse. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope, and here's the text verse. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. There is no such thing as someone who gets married and does not hope for it to work out. No one gets married saying, well, in about a year and a half, we're going to get a divorce. Because that's the normal divorce rate. Most divorces happen within a year and a half to 2.25 years after the marriage date. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And here's the thing. Every marriage has problems. It's just some, it discourages them. So once they start losing sight of the hope, then they start getting sick. And they start thinking, well, I didn't know that we were going to have this problem in our home. And I didn't know we were going to have this problem. And hope deferred, they lose hope, and then their heart starts to become sick. There are, praise the Lord for people in our church that have examples of wonderful marriages, but there are horrible marriages. There are marriages where the people say, I wish I would have never gotten married. And it doesn't have to be that way. How come this can happen? Well, I'm going to give you, this is the title of the message tonight is How a Dream Becomes a Nightmare. How does a dream become a nightmare? How does it start out so good and then get to the point where they're wishing they had never gotten married? How does this happen? Well, I'm going to give you five things tonight. Five things that, if you're taking notes, you're welcome to. But I'd like you to write down the point if you are, and then the verse. Don't forget the verse text. But problem number one: how can a dream become a nightmare? Number one: unreal expectations. Unreal expectations. If you write down right next to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 28, and then please turn there. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28. Unreal expectations. I expect this to happen. In some cases, they've been programmed by the world, they've watched too much TV, and they think everything happens with a happy ending. You know, and no, that's not reality. But if you've been programmed by TV and by the world, you can have a tendency to have unreal expectations. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 28. Ready? 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 28, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. Getting married is not sinful. There's nothing sinful, and that's what he's driving home. He said, getting married is not sinful. He said, but getting married, there's no such thing as a trouble-free marriage. It says here plainly, when someone chooses to get married, it really helps. 1 Corinthians 7:28 really helps reality. If you choose to get married, which, by the way, is the choice for most. Amen? Hermits are weird. Okay? Well, they are. I mean, somebody who dwells, God made us to enjoy fellowship and things like that. And people say, well, I just don't like being around people. They're damaged up here. You understand? Here, there's no, God says there's no such thing as a trouble-free. When you choose to get married, you need to go into it with this mentality. We're going to have problems, but those problems are not going to make me quit. See, a lot of people have this thinking. If we can just get married, all our problems will be solved. That is so like opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you need to understand. You say, well, I'm saved and I'm serving God, so how come everything isn't going to work out? Wait a second. God says here, such shall have trouble in the flesh. He said, your thinking needs to be correct. Okay? And he's not talking about some people. This verse is talking about everyone. Not poor, not rich, not different religions, not interracial, none of that. He's talking about everyone is going to have trouble in the flesh when you get married. It would really help if you go into marriage knowing that. It's not, marriage is going to, look, I love this statement. Marriage does not solve problems. Marriage reveals problems. That's a good statement. In other words, you're seeing them when you're dating at their best. You understand? But you're getting ready, if you take the vows, till death do us part, you're getting ready to see them all the time. Now, what are you going to do when you find out they have flaws? Because all do. Everybody has flaws. Marriage is not a problem solver. Marriage is a problem revealer. Okay? And here, it's easier to serve the Lord. This is what this is teaching. It's easier to serve the Lord when you're single than when you're married. It's harder to feed two people than one. It's harder to please two people than one. And somebody, that's why it's sad to watch, watch somebody just graduate out of high school and they're going to get married. The divorce rate's pretty high at that rate. Do you know how come? Because they think, finances? Who cares? Well, where are you going to live? Sears has this refrigerator box. And I'm going to cover it with Visqueen and Tyvek and that's all we need. How much money are you making? What are your savings like? Well, who cares? And they don't think that way. They're just thinking, da, 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 da. There's no reality there. There's no reality. Whoever came up with the statement, it's easier to feed two people than one. I've told you this before. They need to be taken out and horsewhipped. That's not reality. That doesn't make sense. It's easier to, not in this economy. Beef is $3.60 a pound. I remember when it was like 75 cents a pound and mom used to go, one hamburger, that's all you get. You know? So now all of us gather around the grill and we just get cake. You get a little piece here. You get a piece of that burger there and go eat your potato chips. But it's harder to feed two people than one. And it's harder to raise a godly family than it is to keep yourself holy. That's why I wish some people would ask themselves the question as far as, look, can you be where you're supposed to be on time? Is your character enough to where you're leading yourself properly? Well, then how can you lead a spouse? If you can't even be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, then what in the world? You need to get your act together and grow a little bit more and mature a little bit more so that you can lead someone else. And that's obviously for the men. Then why do we get married? Why? If marriage produces problems, which God teaches that it does, and it's easier to serve the Lord when you're single than when you're married, then why do we get married? I wrote this down. Because we have a hope that the benefits will outweigh the problems. We have a hope that the benefits will outweigh the problems. Look, he's got one problem. He's got one problem. He's lonely. Right? Didn't God say that? It is not good that man should be alone. Women don't struggle with loneliness. Men do. You say, well, I know women that do, but men struggle more with it. Okay? You leave a guy at home too long for a couple of nights, and pretty soon he's got, you know, a gun at every window, and, you know, he's got his machete. You know, you leave a guy alone too long, and he starts getting spooked. All I'm telling you is this. He's got one problem, and so he's going to solve it by getting married. And then he trades the loneliness, which the loneliness got fixed, but he wasn't anticipating the trade for the financial pressure. Where are we going to live? How are we going to pay for this? Now he's got a car payment. Now he's got to bring in enough money to buy the food. Now he's got to pay the rent. And he traded it. He traded it. And he wasn't thinking that way. However, if things can be properly prepared for, we have a hope that the benefits will outweigh the problems. Okay? He's lonely, so instead of going to the pet shop, he gets married. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Never mind. Let's move on to the thing. Loneliness. She has one problem: security. She needs a white knight. She needs someone to take. I need someone to take care of me. When they got married, she got someone to take care of her, but she wasn't anticipating washing dirty socks. She wasn't anticipating the negatives. She wasn't thinking that way at all. She was just thinking, this is going to solve my one problem. The benefits of marriage can outweigh the problems. However, you have to have the proper mindset. What causes a dream to become a nightmare? Somebody had some unreal expectations. They weren't anticipating the problems. Our problems will all be over when we get married, and then reality sets in. Problem number two, what causes a dream to become a nightmare? Ready? And impatience. Proverbs 13:12. Problem number two, what causes a dream to become a nightmare? Impatience. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Some of these will come from Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. And we read this, but watch this. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. There's only one thing that transforms hope into reality. Patience. I hope for a good marriage. If you can wait for it and be patient with your spouse, you can have one. Men are the most worst at this. Men are the most biggest offenders in this. And it's not that ladies are perfect at this, but men get very impatient. They get very impatient. Think with me just for a second, would you? You spend 4 to 6 years earning a degree at college. Then, if he gets his, once he gets his degree, then he starts at the bottom of the ladder wherever he's going. I don't care if it's electronics, if it's a trade, if it's mechanics, electrical. He's going to start at the bottom of the rung, and it takes him 10 years to become a professional to where he's respected in the eyes of his peers. No, with whatever he's doing. So let me get this straight. He goes to school for 4 years, then he takes 10 years to work up the rung. But then when he gets married, if he's not careful, he expects after they've been dating for a year and a half and then they got engaged, he expects the house to be perfect when he comes home. And she hasn't cooked for two people her whole life. She's cooked for one. She's going through a whole bunch of changes. She said, okay, I'll change my name. I'll change my location. I'll change my security. She's going through a whole bunch of changes right when they get married. But the man has a tendency to, he goes to work. Things are just the way they're supposed to be. This is here, and he is working, but he doesn't come home with the same patient attitude. How come the house is a mess? How come the dishes aren't done? How come supper's not ready? And instead of giving her the adjustment time that she needs, you see, he had it, because he didn't have that to deal with. He had his job to deal with. But instead, men can have a tendency to get very impatient. What do you mean, how come this isn't done and this isn't done? What do you do all day? And if they're not careful, they have, yes, unreasonable expectations, but their impatience. I'll say it again. There's only one thing that transforms the hope of a good marriage into a reality, and this is patience. Okay? It's patience. Divorce happens normally within the first 2 years of marriage because someone married someone who wasn't perfect. They lost patience. This is a good statement. It's a good way for a man to think. You married the raw material for a wonderful wife, but you have to grow her. You have to teach her. There is no such thing as a mind-reading, three-armed wife. They don't exist. But he thinks they should. He thinks they should. But they don't make a lady that reads minds. And sometimes the man becomes impatient. Look, doesn't it say the first year of marriage you're supposed to take and learn what cheers her up? You're supposed to learn how a woman thinks. And as far as learning how to, some men wish she thought like he does. I'm gonna make a real strong statement here. It's almost like they have a homosexual mindset. They're not willing to accept a woman who thinks totally different. How come you don't think like I think? Well, how come you didn't? Because she thinks different. She thinks different. She doesn't think like a man. She thinks like a woman. Amen. And that's a good thing. And she shouldn't change it either. She shouldn't change it either. However, they get impatient in the learning process. They get impatient in the things she's learning to do. And, here we go, if you look at your wife this way, God calls her in the Song of Solomon, she is your garden. You're to help her learn and you help her grow. That's one of the fun things of marriage. She's not my mission project as much as I find out. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. She's not my mission project as much as I want to find out what my wife's good at and what she enjoys and where can she excel. Some husbands will find out their wife is really good at art. So it's kind of neat to watch them invest in their wife and say, honey, you're really good at that. So they'll buy them an easel and they'll buy them the paints. And then some ladies... Not all ladies are like a Mrs. Naylor, just, you know, natural cook. You know what I mean? But I'm sure Brother Naylor said, honey, you're really good at this. And when she can cook like that, my goodness. So he gets her whatever she needs in the kitchen. That's a talent. And when a husband watches his wife and say, you're good at this, and so let me help you grow in this area. You married the raw material for a wonderful wife. If you'll be willing to work with her and not lose your patience. Amen. Okay? That is a good, safe mindset versus nobody marries a finished product. And by the way, she didn't marry a finished product with you either. She keeps comparing him to Daddy. Well, Daddy didn't make that mistake, and Daddy didn't blow the finances that way, and Daddy didn't. Well, he's got to have time to grow too. Right?
Amen.
He's got to learn that. He's got to learn that. Patience for both sides. However, I don't mind saying men are the biggest offenders in this problem. What causes a dream to be turned into a nightmare? Unreal expectations. Number two, impatience. Number three, unwillingness to bend. Proverbs 29, verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. Unwillingness to bend. How does a dream become a nightmare? Proverbs 29:1 says this, unwillingness to bend. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Look, habits have to change. Set ways cannot stay set ways. That's why, here we go. It takes a lot of work to make a marriage work, whether they're younger or older. But watch this. Listen closely. Many times, it's harder for someone who's been single for a long time to adjust to marriage than it is someone who's 23, 24. You know why? They've got set habits. Socks go in that drawer. T-shirts go in that drawer. Vacuum's right over there in the corner. Does not move. When it's not being used, that's where it stays. Toilet paper comes over the roll, not behind and under. The toilet paper has to come over the roll so we see where the edge is. If it is behind, that is totally inefficient. I have to spin it to find the edge. We must have the toilet paper coming over the roll. Hey, you'd be shocked at people that I've watched husband and wife get upset over that. The toothpaste does not get squeezed in the middle. You have to squeeze. I said, so what's your main problem? And he goes, Pastor, last week she squeezed the toothpaste in the middle. I was like, you know how easy that is to fix? You grab the thing like that and, you know. You say, these are adults. These are adults. It takes, set ways cannot stay set. And there has to be some give and take. There has to be somebody's got to bend. There has to be, okay, you're used to doing this, and you're used to doing this. Look, I don't always have to be right. But if I always have to be right, look, I don't have to win every fight. We don't fight a lot. My wife and I don't. What'd you say? Yeah. After we fight, I always have my wife on her knees. She comes up, raises a thing from underneath the bed and says, come out and fight like a man. Okay, never mind. Yeah. I don't think this is bad. I'll share one fight with you. Okay? One fight. This is fine. My wife and I had been married for 19 years, okay? She had never messed with my top drawer. I have my dresser, she has hers. One day I came home from work. We'd been married 19 years. And she decided she was going to go all through my dresser and neatly fold and do. You have to understand, my top dresser has 3 knives in it. It's got, that's just for when the Muslims take over. Amen? All right. It's got 4 flashlights in it with fresh batteries. It's got, just in case the power goes out, every man needs a flashlight. Amen. And I've got things in my top drawer that are, and my shoe polish is there. And I mean, this is my world. This is everything that is precious to me. And I came home one day, and she had gone through that whole top drawer, changed everything. This was over here. I couldn't find my knives. I needed a pair of socks, but I always check the knife, because what's a man do before he puts on a fresh pair of socks? Open up the switchblade and feel, all right, we're ready, Leroy. And then he gets his socks, right? I couldn't find my knives. I couldn't find my flashlights. And she was so happy that she had, honey, I rearranged your dresser. And I was, I couldn't even talk. I had to go outside and cope for a while. I was like, we've been married 19 years. And this was the thought I had. As much marriage counseling as I've done, and helping other people, I thought, are you kidding me? You're actually having a problem with her dinking with your top dresser drawer. And this is so I had a little talk, self. We need to talk. You're acting like a little kid. And I was like, I am furious over this. Have you thought about what you're furious about, self? Well, I know, but has she ever messed with your top drawer? That's not the point. Now, we need to get over this. And I remember that. And I remember having that talk with myself going, I'm really bent out of shape over this. I don't always have to be right. Unwillingness to bend. Have you ever heard somebody say, wow, he's really bent out of shape? That's because he bent and bent a little bit more and bent a little bit more and bent. And finally, he broke. He snapped. Both couples, both people have to have the mentality, we give and take a little. Amen? Both have to be. Unwillingness to bend on one means the other is totally bending to fit everything. And that causes a lot of pain, and it can destroy things. It can turn a dream into a nightmare. Okay? And yes, I did get over it, and I have the most wonderfulest wife in the world. Amen. Okay? So, listen closely. How do you help then? Look, it's dangerous when each person in the marriage has a list that each one has what they would like to see the other changed. Well, I wish they would change this, 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 and this. But they don't talk about it. Best way you can do with that list, swap lists, and then work on yourself. Leave it alone. Get rid of the list. Get rid of the list. You can't change anybody but you. You cannot change them. Well, I know, but I've got this list, and I wish they would change this and this and this. Get rid of the list and just work on yourself. And have this attitude. I'm going to be the best spouse I can be. Because God only gave me power to change me. God didn't give me power to change anybody. How about this? I have two things here. How to help a wife, a willing wife, become a better wife. And then number two under this point is how to help a willing husband become a better husband. Are you ready? Here we go. How do you help then a willing wife? They do have to be willing to bend. That's on my next point. Sorry, things, I sneezed. And my outline moved. Okay. One person cannot do all the bending, okay? God put opposites together, okay? A two right-armed anything is a freak, right? So guess who gets married? One who's strong and one who's weak, so they can complement each other. You'll have a passive and a dominant. You'll have a night owl and an early bird. One likes to stay up and read their book. When are you going to shut that light off? That's the night owl. Then you've got the early bird. I've got to get up at 6:30 in the morning. That's the early bird. Both the night owl and the early bird have to bend. Nobody can say, well, I always stay up till 1. That's it. Can't do that. There has to be a willingness to bend. There has to be give and take on each. You've got one that is a neat freak. And you've got another who's a slob. Okay? Before they got married, their socks were on the fan. And their underclothes were in between the mattress and all that stuff. And guess who got married? Two opposites. Two opposites. So you've got the neat freak who wears gloves everywhere they go. And a mask. Got a mask. And you've got the other one. You've got the other one. There has to be a willingness to bend. I just like the statement, I don't always have to be right. And here's another good statement. Sometimes you need to let them win. It's okay. It's okay to let them win. Here we go. Problem number four. How does a dream become a nightmare? Ready? Unwillingness to improve yourself. Unwillingness to improve yourself. I realize the two kind of bleed together a little bit, but unwillingness to improve yourself. Let me just go into the point here. How to help a willing wife become a better wife? Ready? Number one, the Bible says she's saved in childbearing. That doesn't mean she gets to heaven through bearing children, but there is a tremendous sacrifice a mom makes in having kids. And God says the wife becomes salvaged or more. It does not mean that a woman is great. There's some ladies that can't have kids, okay? And they're not cursed or anything else like that. You understand? You can't look at it that way. But it does say in the Bible, she's saved through childbearing. That means she becomes of value because why? She learns to focus on somebody other than herself. That's what mothering will teach you. Mothering will teach you. When they cannot do anything in return, you have to do it all for them. How does a willing wife become a better wife? Having children is one way. Number two, underneath that, having a philosophy that marriage is her career. Marriage is her career. This is what God made me for. That'll help a willing wife be a better wife. And watch this. The opposite then is criticism from the husband doesn't help. It won't help her be a better wife. How come you don't do this? And how come you don't do this? It's wonderful when a husband can look at his wife and say, honey, God made you for me. We're learning. It's wonderful. It's wonderful when she looks at her husband and says, God made me for you. For you. How to help a willing wife become a better wife? The husband needs to be more spiritual than the wife. She cannot pull the spiritual load in the home. You will wear her out. If it's always her getting the kids ready and always her and then sometimes he doesn't come with her, he's supposed to be the leader of the home. But she's, come on kids, is daddy going to church this morning? Come on kids, we need to... That'll wear her out. And I mean, it'll bury her. How do you help when the husband sees he needs to be more spiritual than the wife? Number last, under how to help a willing wife become a better wife, the husband needs to be constantly trying to fulfill her number one need, which is security. He's trying to help her. How to help a willing wife become a better wife? I love this statement. You know, the wedding vows go like this. To have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. To cherish her. She doesn't take a vow to cherish him. She takes a vow in sickness and health. His vow to her is cherish. And it's always wonderful. I love this statement. If I want to be a good husband to my wife, I ask myself the question, am I making her feel cherished? Does she feel special to me? And sometimes I need to go back and I have not perfected it. But does my wife feel cherished and special? That's my job. Does she feel secure? Does she feel... That's why I've told you before in about three Bible studies earlier, I said the divorce word should never come up. It's not an option. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about, well, then I'll just leave. We don't talk that way. My wife and I, we determined when we got married, we would never use the D word. We'll talk about death, what happens if I pass before her, but we don't talk about divorce. We don't talk about it because it's not an option. And we never have either. Never, not one time in 23 years of marriage. Not once. Praise the Lord. That's to the glory of God. Number two under this point, unwillingness to improve yourself, how to help a willing husband become a better husband. How do you do that? So number one, underneath this, was how to help a willing wife become a better wife. Number two, how to help a willing husband become a better husband. All right, are you ready? Understanding that he's more responsible for the success of the marriage than she is. That will help a husband be a better husband. Because far too many say, well, look, you're the high priest of the home, you're the leader of the home, and you are more responsible for the success of the marriage than she is. That does not mean she can just pitch it. I think you understand what I'm saying. But it helps when the husband accepts the responsibility. This marriage, the success of it, the weight's on me. The weight's on me. That'll help a husband be a better husband. The marriage is the career of the wife's, but he is more responsible for the marriage than she is. He's going to give an account of that marriage to God. What else will help a willing husband be a better husband? Develop the ability to bend without breaking. There's two extremes. Develop the ability to bend without breaking. I love the statement, if I can afford it, I'll buy it for my wife. If I can't afford it, then I say no. There are some things I'm going to have to say no to my wife on. Nope, no problem. But the two mentalities is this. One is King Kong. Ugh, me Tarzan. You cheetah. That's bad. The other mentality is you have King Kong over here and you got the mouse over here. Oh, whatever you want. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's two extremes that have to be avoided. There is a wonderful, wonderful in between there. Learn to develop the ability to bend without breaking. And then here we go, the last thing, how to help a willing husband become a better husband. Are you ready? Have an affectionate wife. Have an affectionate wife. Key word, affectionate. Affectionate. Nothing charges up the husband more than when the wife's sweet on him. When the wife's sweet on him. And if we were just married couples in here, I'd expound upon that point. But let's move on. Amen. How does a dream become a nightmare? Okay, how does a dream become a nightmare? We said number one, unreal expectations, impatience, unwillingness to bend, unwillingness to improve yourself, and let me give you the last one, unfair judging of one another, unfair judging of one another. Take your Bible. Let's go to the last place here. Got just a couple of minutes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, unfair judging of one another. I have freedom on this point because I have not seen this in our church, but I have seen this. Matthew chapter 7 verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. This does not mean you're not supposed to judge anything. This means judge the same way you want to be judged. It does not mean you are... Look, if you're going to make it as a Christian, you have to be able to judge things and say, that's wrong, that's right, that's biblical, that is not. That is of Satan, that is of God. You have to be able to do that or you go nowhere in the Christian life. Don't judge. That's not saying don't judge. It says judge the way you want to be judged. Judge the way you want to be judged. What are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. Don't judge the private things in a person's heart. There are things that make them what they are. There are things that make them what they are. Don't judge the things that are private in a person's heart. Like this. She shouldn't judge his salvation if he's given her a clear testimony of trusting Jesus as his Savior. Well, I don't know if he's saved or not. Did he tell you he's saved? Then don't bring it up for judgment again. Don't bring it up for judgment again. Well, he doesn't act like he's saved. Don't bring it up for judgment. That's something they told you. Did they tell you they were saved? Then you leave it alone. That's private and in their heart. That is a private heart matter. That is between them and God. And if they're not saved, you could pray for them, but you can't say, I think you're not saved. That's an unfair judging of one another. And that, yes, that does happen. It happens too much. I've not seen it here, praise the Lord, but it's something that you... Okay? Or, don't judge their statements of love. He says, I love you, or he says, I'm sorry, and she judges that he doesn't mean it. But yet he has his way of saying it. Well, did he tell you he loves you? Well, yeah, but... Okay, then let me get this straight. You're upset because he didn't say it the way you wanted him to say it. But he said it. Well, yes. That's normally it. He told you, I love you. But you said it wasn't exactly the way you were wanting it, so you rejected it. You say, he doesn't love me. He told you he did. He told you he did. When he said he's sorry, he didn't say the exact words she wanted to hear, so she doesn't accept it. And it goes vice versa. Learn to recognize each other's expression of love. You can't see into anybody else's heart. Tonight, how does a dream become a nightmare? Unreal expectations. Impatience. Unwillingness to bend. Unwillingness to improve yourself. And, fifthly, unfair judging. How does a love cruise turn into a shipwreck? It's a journey, and it doesn't have to be taken. Two people do not have to stay married together, although they do, and I'm glad they do. But they don't have to endure it. It doesn't have to be, yeah, we're married. You're supposed to enjoy it. You're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to look for a way to get more, not get out. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's not supposed to, well, I guess 70 is what the Lord gives us, and I'm halfway through, so we'll make it the rest of the way somehow. Yeah, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to live. You can enjoy your marriage. The dream doesn't have to turn into a nightmare if the thinking is safe. If it's scriptural, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for these sweet people. I pray that, please, you'd help each home. Lord, I know from the single person to the married person, I pray that, please, Lord, where we can hit a reset button, I ask that, Father, you would please touch and help. Help us to see, Lord, this world's so messed up and the way they're doing things and the divorce rate. I pray that, please, you'd help us to think clearly and your way. Please. Let's all stand. If you'd like to use the altar, you're welcome to.